I know that I could write a better story compared to this. That much I can 100% confirm.
Yeah, Glasslip lacks any emotion and even a trace of characters and a solid story. You know you done goofed.
This anime needs to be quarantined immediately, sent into outer space, send it to the sun, heck, use it as a weapon against ISIS members. I don't care what you do with it, just get this anime out of here.
Yeah, so this anime is gonna get a 7 out of 10 because the art's pretty cool.
Come to terms with my addiction to getting drunk on anime podcasts. It's the only rush.
I think that's just an addiction to getting drunk.
Oh, shit. Well, now I have to come to terms with a completely different thing.
We only record an episode like once a month. It's not really, that's not a really tragic
condition. This guy this 20-something gets drunk once a month.
Next on Dr. Phil. He had an anime podcast, and now it's way better because he's trashed all the time.
Our anime podcast, just excuses to get loaded.
Absolutely. Coming up, Dr. Phil.
That said, tune into my One Piece fan cast. One Phil. I don't know.
Have you seen the clip of the bum fights guy on Dr. Phil?
No.
The guy who made bum fights, Dr. Phil had this huge montage of, like, he exploits the homeless for money. And then they cut to the studio, and the guy is sitting in front of the audience wearing a Dr. Phil costume. and he has the beard and everything. And it's like, oh, God, it's like a fucking movie. And Dr. Phil just goes, like, you know what? I don't want to talk to you. Get out. And the guys just stand up like, you know, we're no different, you and I. We're no different. And then they carry him out.
It's really great.
It's so fucking good.
It's like looking in a mirror, I'm sure.
Oh, God. He had a bald cap. Oh, it was amazing.
Bum fights is a relic of
I've never seen. I think the only I've seen clips and the I think we used one as an opening where he is that. Yeah, but that was from Bum
yeah.
Fights, I think, where it's. Hey girls, can you say bling bling?
Hey girl, can you say bling bling?
Wait, no, that's not bum fights. That's just a clip. That's just a clip of this fucking dude explaining the universe.
I thought that was a clip from bum fights. I could be wrong though.
If they put that poor bum in the arena, I got a bone to pick with bum fights. That poor
just
man.
Him.
He just wants to explain the universe. You know, like we live in the 10th dimension
what
or something.
That, what was that again, sir?
Why they used. See, there's a reason, especially going through the vortex through temporal solar system and constellations. There's a reason why they use A through Z, 0 through 9 and 0 in the solar system. It's very powerful. A lot of people don't understand that. I am a chosen being that will make it off the universe, this planet, in an extraterrestrial craft. Mm-hmm. Hey, girl, can you say bling bling?
He's got his priorities in order, really. That's yeah. Pretty much the same as that's my internal workings as well. I don't know what he means. How do they use A through Z in one?
It's very powerful.
In the solar system?
It's very powerful.
What's going on? We don't call the numbers. We don't call the planets by numbers. I don't.
Not anymore, we don't.
We used to.
Missing one. I'll never forget. I have a pin somewhere stashed that says, I support Pluto. This was like 2006.
You're one of those people, huh?
I was walking around a mall and they were handing them out. I'm like, fuck, free pin, all right. Because I spent a lot of my teenage years just walking around malls aimlessly.
This YouTube video does describe it in the description as a bum fights clip.
All right,
or
damn.
Maybe not.
I'm very sorry, bum.
Bling Bling and the Universe bum fights clip. Oh. So I don't know what they had this man do. Hopefully it involved
fighting with his inner demons rather than external conflict, because
he had I bet it's a really good segue. Like, he thinks he's gonna make her think he's talking about jewelry, but then he's like bling bling, and then he's gonna spin it off into the universe and philosophy.
You know, bling bling, twinkle twinkle, the stars. It's very powerful.
Very powerful. Get into my car.
car. He's homeless.
He's doing it. He's a bum.
He's opening something on a car. I don't know. It could be his car. It could be someone else's car.
You need to stop him? You need to touch that grody man as he's opening up your car?
If you can say bling bling, you will.
That's what he's
like.
Hey girl, can you say bling bling is a classic. It's like Stacy, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, baby. I didn't put a lot of effort
really
in that.
I don't know
one.
Why those are related. In it. I don't know how you jumped from one to the other.
There was a very specific time in my life where those were very prominent. Those were prominent things.
Those are the you know
when you just regurgitate things. You know, you just,
sure, yeah.
You just got your old standbys. Those were in the rotation for a while. So, just good things to yell while you're drunk, basically.
Okay,
not at
that.
Women.
Yeah,
they're almost exclusively used not in the company of women.
Well, I mean, if you say Stacy, they'll just think that you're talking to another girl, so it's fine. So you can yell that as much as you want.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Can't say it in public though.
You could.
I want to be at a point in my life where I can bring that clip to light. Do people know that clip from a Goofy movie? I hope so.
Oh yeah.
It's a classic.
Absolutely, definitely. People have seen that movie.
Everybody's like, eye to eye, though. And I'm like, what about Stacy?
That's not a song.
I just want to say, like, yay to all of us for a really neat year.
Yo, Stacy! Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, baby!
It's still good. He put so much stank on it.
His mouth is so... His mouth is his entire body.
Oh, man. She's having
none
of it.
They're all shouting for no reason. This girl is completely, just absolutely homely. can barely talk.
Fuck.
And she's just up there.
To all of us for a really neat year.
Yo, Stacy! Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, baby!
Absolutely flawless line delivery.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
That movie was worth
talk
it.
Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, baby!
Fuck. Oh, the way he slides in the baby. Oh, my God. Who writes that? This girl's it's not catcalling. It's not heckling. It's like somewhere in between. It's perfect.
It's like a comedy. Yeah, and they're like 12.
It's so harmless. It's beautiful.
Hilarious.
That's pure. That's pure, man. It cuts to the heart of all men. I think if ISIS could see that clip, they would throw down their guns and be like, you know what?
Allah isn't real.
Allah isn't real, but you know what is real? Fuck.
90s, sexy dog.
Sexy,
that's what's real.
The 90s Disney output.
Behead those who insult sexy-ass cartoon dogs.
She was a bit of a brace face, though.
Stacy?
Yeah. I think she's a brace.
No, she definitely is.
Yeah. You know what show doesn't have any braces in it?
What's that?
Glass Lip.
That's probably true. They have braces in Japan, or they just go all natural?
Based on the clips I've seen of live Japanese people, I don't. I'm going to go with a no.
They're expensive. You know?
Yeah.
But we did watch Glass Lip.
Mm-hmm. They said we couldn't do it.
Do you say that every week? And I don't know what demons you're fighting. We're telling you can't do these things. But it was pretty easy to watch Glass Lip, and I did it.
It is an easy watch.
Really? Yeah. Sure.
Easy. It's a
easy on the brain.
Yeah, but it's. I'm at a tumultuous point in my life right now, so like just a nice, slow, just, it kind of removes you from the world a little bit. You're just kind of caught up in a sea of Glass Lip. Do you have deets? You got deets?
Glass Lip is an original series by PA Works, famous PA Works who did Hanasaku Iroha and Angel Beats and Tari Tari and Shirobako and
all
Charlotte.
Your favorite shit.
We did Charlotte, remember that?
Yep.
And it's directed by Junji Nishimura, who directed Ranma One Half and Dog Days. Those are the only two prominent ones I could find.
Directed Ranma One Half?
Yeah.
It's a very strange,
I don't know,
backlog.
Summer 2014.
We was there.
The reason we watched this show is because I put the reception paragraph from Wikipedia in my notes here. This is why we watched this show. Well, not because of this guy specifically. Matt Packard of Anime News Network praised Glasslit for being visually beautiful, but criticized it for the generic characters, the lack of explanations for the supernatural phenomena mm-hmm. included at the beginning of the series, uh-huh. and the presence of too many incongruities. Stig Hogsett, mm-hmm. writer for Them Anime Reviews, also praised the striking visuals but found the characters believable and showed maturity when dealing with their respective relationships. Hogsett, I don't know what it means when there's a strike through the O. Hogsett ultimately found the show disappointing because its great start was marred by Toko's visions leading towards a vague conclusion, saying that it basically sells its own gimmick as a huge waste of time. So I wanted to know what was up with that, because for anime critics to actually criticize something is insane. They said something bad
unheard
about
of.
A show.
Unheard of.
And like something bad about a show with no tits in it.
A show that is outwardly inoffensive. They're based. Yeah. You can't just disregard it based on the art alone.
Right.
And basically, usually, if something looks nice, they just kind of get sucked into that, and then that's the basis of the criticism.
And not just the critics. This show became
a meme
because of its quality, and I wanted to know why, because that doesn't happen to a lot of Japanese animations, even in the MAL community and Netflix town, Netflixville.
Mm-hmm. It's a ghetto, really.
It's nasty, and if they see something, they're like, ugh, gross. It's like,
no,
whoa,
thanks.
I got to check this out. I need to absorb this.
I have already seen this.
Yeah, you would watch this, and then at the very, very beginning of this podcast, in the first few episodes, you were like, yeah, it's okay. And I was shocked.
Aghast.
Yeah, I was like, you...
Well, who have I started this podcast with?
I was like, you were high the whole time, weren't you? But I guess you weren't, so I was very conflicted for a while.
Which, that's usually a toss-up, but this time, well, both times, Stone Cold
Glass
Sober.
Left, yeah, it made it through somehow. I skipped the show when it came out because it was PA Works. And then everyone said it was the worst thing ever, even my anime list. And then you watched it and said it wasn't bad. So we had to figure it out.
Get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, solve it. Really the only thing I knew about it going in was that there was a nicely animated bottle of ramen and there were chickens involved.
It's classic. There's a nice popping sound to accompany that ramen.
It's almost violent, but it's a tranquil
Hanabi.
Violence. Yes.
Lots of fireworks.
Yeah, fireworks. And then I watched it, and it's not good. I wouldn't recommend it, but
it shouldn't be as notorious as it is.
Yeah, what the fuck, you guys? What happened? You know PA Works, like they made Hanasaka, they made Tari Tari. I've seen Tari Tari, motherfuckers. That shit is way more pointless than this show. Tari Tari sucked. And at least it had the memorable I know money scene. I don't money. That's what it was.
This is not. Did I say it was not that bad? Was that my exact words from that period?
Yeah, it was something. It was just very
non-committal.
Very mediocre. Just average.
Yeah. No. Tengo algo importante que decirte. Hoy no regreses.
Escúchame. I don't money. It's really good. Okay. Yeah. That's the only thing I remember about Tari Tari. Literally, not even joking. I think they might have been in the drama.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
See, that's 13 episodes of your life you can't get back.
It's 6 hours. Like, that's like a third of a day. You know, I only have like so many thousands of those.
You could have watched... you could have watched a fourth of Fullmetal Alchemist.
Well, actually, it has the gif of the little girl doing the Johnny Bravo.
Oh, that's
monkey.
A good dance. It's a really good dance.
That's a good
now
one.
Now you got context for it. She does the shimmy.
So that was good. Plot: 5 Japanese high school students who were too young to be called adults. Well, yeah, but who no longer think of themselves as children. That sounds familiar. Wakano Sakai once took music lessons, but she withdrew from music after losing her mother. Konatsu Miyamoto is a positive thinking girl who loves singing and spends.
Maybe they are
in the music club.
Their shows are so, like, down to earth.
Except for Angel Beats and Charlotte. Like, every once in a while they go buck wild, but most of it is, hey, Japanese countryside and realistic fiction.
Yeah, basically. But
here's some acoustic guitar and some really sharp Really nice high resolution, bro.
Some sparkle
nuts.
Effects. Yeah. And really good. Really good. I liked the ambient audio of this. Like, I liked the sound design a lot. There was a nice sense of presence, which is often lacking in anime. A lot of times you just drown an exterior in cicadas and call it a day.
It's probably more realistic. I mean,
but this is a different thing. It's just made it distinct. It made it a really, really nice. I was drowning in Glaslip this week, basically. I just let it wash over me, and it's very easy on the eyes. Doesn't take a lot of brain power to get through.
No.
You
don't have to remember anything.
You get kind of confused. but I found myself connecting with certain moments and found them to be quite honest and relatable, which is more than could be said for a lot of romance anime. It's inconsistent. Sometimes characters will have entire conversations where I don't understand what they're saying, and it'll just go by me. It'll just be whoosh.
Yeah, and the point of the scene will just kind of be lost.
Yep.
In the current of Glaslip.
It's Glaslip's like a leaf in the breeze, man. It's just so you just watch it float aimlessly, and you're like, that's kind of beautiful in its own way, and then you know you forget about it.
Yeah. Speaking of drugs, Glaslip is Japan's synthetic weed. This is you just sit there and you're like,
and then you're homeless and chewing somebody's face off.
I'm thirsty. Yeah. And you just don't know who you are.
Don't smoke K2.
No. Please.
Don't be high for 30 straight days. Not a good idea.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so the point of this episode for me basically switched a little bit from finding out why this is so bad to finding out why people finally came to their senses and started criticizing just this show properly. Which this is how the treatment that Glaslip has gotten really should be the treatment how every 5 or 6 out of 10 show should get. You know, this is how Tari Tari should have gotten treated. This is how I haven't seen Hanasaku Iroha, but it seems like the same thing. Should have gotten treated and fucking all these other things. Like, why is it just this one where suddenly everyone grows a pair of fucking balls and calls it up for being so terrible? Or at least
slow.
Very boring.
Slow.
Yes. Or, you know, yeah. So that's what we're going to find out.
Do you want to go episode by episode or?
Sure. If I have any good stuff. But yeah, maybe I should just go through the whole thing so you get a feel for how this. Just the general flow of this show, the order of the sheer number of scenes you get. I think you're going to start seeing a theme once I start describing the scenes to you. But our main character is Toko, and I do really like Toko, but she's the only character. She's great.
What about her little sister?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I like Sachi. That's pretty much it. I like girls who aren't.
Bitches.
I like bitches. This was subbed by legendary Eve Taku, by the way. What a waste. What a shame. Remember fan subs? First episode, we see a guy on a train, and we see a girl who's Toko at a festival, and there are even little title cards for their names, as if I'm supposed to remember them or something. I did end up remembering them, but that was
they say them a lot.
They say those names a whole lot
because they're always referring to each other when
they
scenes that they're not in.
Say yes, you really have to learn the names. They just give you all the characters right up front, and I was kind of overwhelmed at first. I was like, shit, that's a lot of people. By the way, the title card, the font for this show, it looks like it should be like a slick sci-fi show. I guess because it's supposed to be glass, but it just looks to me like a clean mecha or something.
It's nice aesthetics. The show's got a nice aesthetic.
It doesn't have any aesthetic. Its aesthetic is Japan.
Its aesthetic is clean and
sterile.
And
I think is the better word.
Modern and subtle.
They live in very. Contemporary housing. I'm looking at my note. Watching this OP, what could this show possibly be about? It looks like a drama with a billion characters, but how could they do that in 13 episodes? Oh, you're in for some stuff.
You were so naive.
I was like, oh man, what? Yeah, because it can't be about nothing, because then no one would get mad at it, right? So it has to be about something. And then we, yeah, fireworks. There's really bad panning. They have these very scratchy lined freeze frames for their stills. Instead of just still frames, they have like drawings with really rough lines.
Kind of make note of them.
And they pan over them sometimes, and it looks really bad. And then there's a weird hazy drug sequence out of nowhere. And then we see that ramen ball, which is nice.
Pop.
Pop. And so there's two boys, two girls. We see one of the boys is Yuki, and he's a tall, dark, handsome boy. And the other boy is Hiro, who is a pansy. And then there's another mysterious boy who just arrived in town. And they're graduating middle school, I think, and it's summer vacation. And we see Yuki works in a coffee shop. It's short for Yukinari, by the way. It's the next day now. One of the girls is an optimistic Genki airhead. Oh, I think that's Toko I'm talking about there. Yeah, they established that Toko is energetic and airheaded pretty quick. And then there just keeps being all these fucking 5-second trippy-ass drug sequences. So I would expect that to lead into the true nature of the show being revealed at the end of the episode. It feels like it's building to something. It almost feels like a fake out. Like, oh, we're going to get to what the real shit in a second, but for now we're going to disguise this as a bunch of just friends hanging out. Like, this, they should find like an alien artifact like 2/3 of the way through this episode, and that's what kicks off the show.
One of them buys it, but then it doesn't happen. One of them buys it or something.
It's like, yeah, this is what would happen if like someone rewrote Chronicle if like they didn't find the thing in the ground and then they just went through the rest of the movie. Yeah. At least it looks real nice, though. And yeah, Toko is a glass apprentice. So there's three girls, and one of them is a bookworm. That's Sachi. And then, oh, and remember in the first few episodes where they just had these inappropriate chibi bubbles where the characters would talk in the bubbles?
That appeared again in the last couple episodes. There's like two instances, but yeah, okay, yeah.
They really gave up on that at some point, and it didn't really work because the show was very, not serious, but just really down to earth, really grounded,
yeah.
And not silly at all. So to have these, and they're not even very good chibis, they're just kind of weird.
The scenes that they're highlighting aren't particularly funny. Like, no. It's not like a punchline, you know? I mean, it's supposed to be, maybe, but like, this isn't a super punchline heavy show. So like,
no humor allowed.
It seems unnecessary.
So Toko draws chickens in her schoolyard. There's just a bunch of chickens there. And she meets this mysterious boy, and she calls him David because he looks super kudu, and I guess because he looks like the statue of David. I called him David for the rest of the show.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's fine. The fucking voice actor on David is really laying on the coolness a little thick.
He's
like,
a bit stoic.
He sounds like the tone that Japanese people use when they want to parody cool characters. It would just be like if we were talking like this the whole time. It's basically
a little bit choony.
It's basically Metal Gear Solid. Yeah, it's basically Snake. Except Snake does it for long enough that he kind of owns it, and like just like this is like if we were to imitate, like, I don't know.
Snake also does uncool things, so
that's,
it kind of
it works. But if I were to talk like this, and just all the time.
Did you see it too? No.
And he's ridiculous. This dude's fucking.
He's a statue in name and also in personality. Because my man is
He's. I don't know if he's supposed
to read.
I don't know if he's supposed to be cool or not. I just don't understand.
I don't think he's cool. He's a weirdo.
Then why do they make him sound like that? It's such an odd choice.
It's hard to read.
He calls her by her first name off the bat, and he keeps making really deep statements about these fucking chickens.
What if I fucking killed your chicken, bro? What if I just fucking killed one of your chickens right now?
That wasn't it. I don't remember what it was, but it was just like, do you think the chickens like to be in cages? No. They want to be free.
Damn, that's hot.
Dude, leave, please.
I'm wet.
I think this might have been one of the conversations you were talking about where I was very confused about this dialogue and this conversation. She chases a chicken away to prove that they can run, and then turns to him and says, "What was that about?" As if he did something.
He was looking at. I know this exact scene because I had to go back and watch it again.
I watched it twice. Yeah.
So he made a remark about what if I hurt one of your chickens or something along those lines. Not literally that, but it was like kind of making that implication. It's about the implication.
Yeah.
And. So, and then she looks over at him, he's just staring at one of the chickens intently, and then I think she takes that to mean that he's going to hurt that chicken, and then he's like, do you think chickens would fly? I think that what he's saying is, do you think chickens would fly away? Or she says the chickens could fly. Hold on. This is... Okay, so she says chickens could fly. It's like, do you think one of the chickens would fly away if I were to chase it down and hurt it or something like that? And then he stares at a chicken and she's like, oh no, he's going to hurt that chicken. So she chases Jonathan is the chicken, and she chases the chicken away, and then the chicken doesn't fly away. And he's like, I guess it can't fly after all.
It does fly. It gets away.
It doesn't take off though.
But I don't know. I swear she says a phrase that's like in the past tense. She's like, what was that about? It's like,
it was the staring at the chicken intently. I think that's what I got. That's my theory. Let's get to our fan theories.
And then he immediately goes into, am I friend or foe? Like, fucking, jeez, man.
Todd, what the ladies want.
I'm soaking. And now at this point, they're moving the school chickens because David offhandedly said they might get attacked by cats. So the older girl, Momo-chan, who's Hiro's sister, she drives a car, and we meet Yuki's sister is a bit more girly, uptight type. She's Yanagi. Yuki has a crush on Toko, and then, there's a scene where they're talking, and everyone's got a chicken now, by the way, because for some reason we just gotta have the chickens for this one episode. And the sister suddenly gets way too serious with, like, if Toko asked you to die, would you? And he's like, that's a really weird thing to say right off the bat. Everyone gets a chicken. More pondering about the freedom of chickens. But then they're eating chicken. It's fucking deep, cuz they're talking about it while they're eating.
I know. I was shook.
Chicken.
I was quaking my boots.
To my core.
Fuck. It made me reconsider all the meat that I eat.
Yeah,
all of it. I'm like, damn, there's a soul behind this deliciousness.
Every one of these Taco Bell cheesy gordita crunches is a Jonathan.
Oh man, that's fucking really sad.
Yeah,
that's why I only go for pork in my Mexican, because pigs don't have souls.
Absolutely not.
Look in their eyes. Tell me there's a soul there. You can't
do it. And then they just put the chickens back. I don't know. They don't explain why. And then everyone meets David. His real name is Okikura Kakaru. He's Kakaru because he's Kakui. And then the atmosphere gets really tense for no reason. And the score on this show is really pretentious.
I like it.
It's just a bunch of fucking violins and piano like by itself. It's really just not appropriate at all.
Well, they're
jarring.
They're in locations a lot of the time that play classical music. Like, they go to this coffee shop, and the coffee shop's run by a cool man who listens to classical music. And then Kakeru's dad is always smoking a pipe and listening to classical music.
Yeah, by the way, all these characters are really fucking lame. And then we get a completely inappropriate, lighthearted ED.
and it's
a Nana Ripe song, so... Even though I don't hate them as much as other people do, but all their songs really do sound 100% exactly the same. And then the preview teases romance. So I was like, okay, here we go. Here we go, buddy. This is it. And then episode 2 happens, and David tells Toko to meet him at some observation deck. And
Jesus, that was a long description of one fucking episode. Holy fuck.
What happened?
You're so right.
All those characters.
So much shit.
Toko gives Sachi a little glass thing, and then they both meet with David, and he says he can help with Toko's visions. And then they see and hear a little of the future, and they both have this ability. It's like, whoa, supernatural. And her trigger for seeing the future is sparkly stuff, and David and Yuki run next to each other for 5 seconds, and that's a scene. And then I guess I thought Yanagi was Yuki's sister because they live together, but then they're not, because she's about to confess to him. I should have figured it out that they were step siblings sooner, but I didn't. I thought that it was gonna be a thing like her visions keep becoming self fulfilling prophecies, and then we're gonna get that so. It's gonna be like that, but it wasn't.
nothing like that.
Instead, it was nothing. And then there keeps being a chicken motif for these first few episodes. I don't know if that... I don't think that keeps happening. I mentioned a chicken motif, though. I think there are other chicken things. Like, they eat chicken twice in a row, and they mention it for dinner, and it's like, you gotta keep doing that, and then they don't. And then another thing that doesn't they don't really bring up again is that they had a ban on romance in their group, and then someone just decides, like, yeah, that's lifted now. That's gone. And everyone's just like, what? Okay.
And then the chaos begins.
Yeah, absolute madness in this show.
This is sanity.
Glass sanity.
Sunday.
Yuki confesses to Toko. Oh, shit. And then she says thanks and runs over. And that was a good scene because it's a nice gag where he's just standing there and then the bike falls over. And that's pretty good. That's good stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah, the second episode was better. Yeah, okay.
Get ready.
We're ramping up. I swear, at this point, it still feels like the show is building up to something bigger. And it does let you get, it lets you down pretty slowly.
It's like that tone that just keeps rising and keeps rising.
And then it levels off so gradually that you don't notice, and then it stays level for 7 episodes. Mm-hmm. David visits, episode 3, David visits Toko's house, and he still acts cool. But then it's time to go hiking, and then some of the voice acting sounds like it was recorded in a bathroom very briefly. And then Sachi gets driven up by Hiro's sister, Momo, because she's weak. She's a frail girl. Toka and Yaga or whatever her name is, they look for water and then get wet, and they got to get naked. They talk about boys.
I like those antics.
Yeah, that was the only antic.
There was also the one beat where homeboy walks off so that timid boy can have a little moment with his lady friend.
That wasn't an antic.
To me, it was a bro moment. Bro moments are male equivalents to antics.
That's the equivalent of seeing two girls in your underwear is when your bro does you a solid. It gives you the same boner.
Well, yeah, right. God knows. It's the only way I can get hard anymore.
I wish it had just kept doing that. If everyone were just naked all the time, that would have been cooler. Hiro gets left alone with Sachi, and then Yuki runs into the girls. Kya. At this point, I say, is Yuki even a character? And you know what?
What is Yuki?
What's his thing?
Let's get to the bottom of Yuki. Throughout the show, he has so many dilemmas, but like none of them get resolved.
He has two, he's got three, I guess.
But then he leaves, and he's just not in the picture for a couple episodes.
Goes off, but it's not. I don't. I'm just more like, what's his personality? He's just kind of normal. He gets a little. He's a little forward with Toko. Gets a little mad when she rejects him. Spoilers,
he doesn't really interact with most of the cast. Doesn't interact with a frail girl and timid boy much, if ever.
No.
Outside of that one bro moment.
Yeah.
And his stuff with Toko doesn't really end up causing much. Like, they have that one episode where it's a thing. And then most of the time his interactions happen with his sister.
Stepsister. You gotta say step, so it's cool if he bones her.
Oh, dude, okay. Not that this is gonna fucking happen in this show.
And then
boning this sexless
in this show. Oh my goodness.
I don't know. He left me confused and just disappointment and disgust.
Just like all the girls he talks with. It's just, what? Toka formally rejects Yuki at the end of episode 3. He does not take it very well. And Hiro confesses his love for Sachi's name.
It was a misfire.
A kind of a thing they do to each other. She does it in the last episode, callbacks. Episode 4, David lives in a tent in his backyard, which is weird. I guess it's because it's a small house, but you could just kind of sleep on a couch.
His room isn't finished.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, it takes a long time.
What the fuck does his dad do all day? Not finishing his room.
His dad sits around and smokes a pipe.
Sorry, son. Too busy smoking a pipe and listening to music.
He's got this little, what kind of mustache is this? It's like a, he's got a Frenchman mustache.
Fuck, what the hell's that, the name of it?
A twiddle bar. It's the kind that you twiddle. I don't know what kind that is.
It's a, there's an actor that's very much associated with it. Vincent Price. He's got a Vincent Price going.
Frenchman mustache. There's no word for it.
You should put in the Vincent Price mustache. It'll show you.
Well, I don't want to look at it. I want to know. I want to know the actual name.
I'm sure it'll help you out.
Pencil mustache.
Pencil mustache.
Yes,
yeah.
But it's a very thin pencil. I mean, it's, you know. So, what else is going on? Yana has a hurt leg.
Oh no!
And then Hiro visits Sachi. And Toko and Yana talk about Yuki even more. And then Toko and Yuki talk some more. And then Hiro and Sachi watch a movie. And then David hangs out with Yana in the rain. And then Hiro and Sachi watch a movie.
Uh-huh.
And then that's all of episode 4. All
right. Riveting.
Sign of things to come. It's people hanging out and talking. I can't even remember what they were talking about. They're just explaining things you already know, I think, or their feelings, which you can kind of figure out already. It's not like engaging
melodrama,
like dialogue. Yeah, it's not melodrama, and it's not like them musing over any kind of concepts. It's just
well,
talking.
When they try that, it doesn't really work out super great. So no. It's best that they don't.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Episode 5, I say, is something going to happen now?
This one's way more exciting, I'm sure. Sure.
Yuki has a track meet or something. I'm surprised I wasn't bored to death at this point, because really nothing's going on. I pondered maybe it's because it looks good, or maybe it's because if I were watching this weekly instead of for a podcast, I would absolutely dread it every week and watch anything else instead.
Definitely something to consider.
Maybe it's easier to binge.
But we wouldn't... Nobody... There's no way that everybody who hates the show was watching it as it was coming out.
I think so, because you go and look at reviews now, and they're not as bad. And like, you don't see, I don't know. There was all the criticism came when it came out. I think. And then we see that Yuki sucks at running. Ha. Yana throws shade at his running buds when they tease him about being with a girl. Because track club gays only. Yana talks to David about talking to sculptures or something, and then they talk about how Yuki hurt his leg, and that's why he sucks so bad. And then Toko visits Sachi, and Hiro hides because they're hanging, and he doesn't want anyone to know that they're hanging out yet.
He's got a bit of a complex, doesn't he?
And Sachi seems privy to all this, despite appearing pretty shy and quiet and timid, so that's cool, I guess. She's pretty cool. So she kind of goes along with it. But then she tells Toko immediately anyways, so I don't know.
It's because she realizes it don't matter.
Yeah, so Toko finds out about that. And then Toko calls David to meet up with him, but turns out it's his dad. Whoops. That's actually a good scene. That's fun. When she's talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Toko visits David's house, and David tells Toko that Yana is going to confess to Yuki. And we see that Yana told David to tell her this. And sculptures can't talk. And at this point, I'm wondering, wait, is this going to get too deep for me? Sculptures can't talk. What are you talking about? What is this all?
It's actually that short show from a few seasons back with the talk.
Sicko Boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except those ones could talk.
That's
the entire show.
The opposite.
It's
the literal opposite
the entire
of what we're
show.
Talking about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just wanted to drop a fucking plug. For Sicko Boys.
S-E-K-K-O.
Yeah.
We finally get told that Yana and Yuki are step-siblings here. I guess we're probably supposed to infer that beforehand. Maybe I'm just dumb. David takes Toko to a special place in the woods and just drops dead. He just lies. He's like, all right, here we are. And then he just drops to the fucking ground. It's fantastic. Oh, get your Now and Laters out. That's going to sound disgusting. Turn your mic
off. This episode is sponsored by Now and Later Sour Shell Shocked Candy Coated Sour Kiwi Bites.
Now and Laters were like the most old person candy I consider them to be, and now they have this fucking crazy ass edgy packaging where they're called Shell Shocked, and there's all these fucking rough ass fonts, and it's got an arrow in the R, and everything's going crazy.
We got to the point where all the old people are having Vietnam flashbacks. So yeah. It's appropriate.
What?
Shell shocked.
Oh.
Like, I relate to this. Ooh.
Billy, don't go in that cave, Billy.
Oh, no.
He was a good boy.
So, David. Oh, no. Yana finally confesses under a dumb sun umbrella. And then she's like, if he accepts her, she'll lose respect for him. So he just leaves and is like, hope this doesn't affect our home life. Like, yeah, no way that could happen.
This won't be awkward.
It won't be weird. The hell, lady. What'd you expect? You literally tell him he can't say yes. What'd you even do that for?
Just stirring the pot, you know. You see what? I'm just gonna fuck things up a little bit.
I don't know. Fuck Episode it. 6, already halfway through, almost.
Oh, thank fuck.
Toko appears to be making a shot glass and hides it from her mom. I like that. That's fun. That is what it is. I don't know. That's what it looks like. Toko sees Kakeru kissing someone who she assumes to be her in a vision. And she just keeps making more phone blunders, which I do think is funny because she's adorable. And then Hiro tells Toko about him and Sachi.
Mm-hmm.
Except she already knows.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else already knows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun scene. To be told, to have a character who knows something be told the thing that we and they also know.
I think it was supposed to, it could have been a goof. But it wasn't, really. It was just kind of played straight.
Yeah. You gotta stop with those.
Oh, you get your okay, hold on.
I gotta stop with these. I've had the same one in my mouth for fucking 10 minutes. This sounds
terrible. I'll be back here.
Okay. Oh, God. So, yeah, Yana tells Toko that she confessed, and Toko's like, whoa. Yuki talks to David and invites him to a thing, and then there's a bird flying horizontally, and then Yuki punches David, so I guess he doesn't like him for some reason.
This is Toko shit, man.
But, like, do we know that?
Because they both want Toko.
He doesn't say he wants Toko.
Well, homeboy wants Toko.
Yeah.
And other homeboy is taking Toko away from everybody, splitting the group up.
How's he taking her away? He doesn't do anything.
They're hanging out and shit.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Right. They just went to the woods, man. Shit.
Well, how does Yuki know about that?
It's glass lit, man. Come on, dude.
Glass lit. So, then David's mom comes home. And she's not important. But they have a scene dedicated to her coming home. And I thought she was dead because I was sure that they were referring to her in the past tense before, but I guess not.
She is mildly important.
They make her important for no reason at some point for one scene later.
Well, hold on. It's they're really fucking good. I don't know what to say.
You gotta
now and later. Get them away from
toss
me.
Toss them away later.
Now and later.
Yeah, later.
Yeah, please. Oh God, it's been mostly now, so I gotta get the later part going.
I choose later.
So it's responsible for a lot of Kakeru's personality. Because her job required them to move all the time. So he wasn't able to really connect with kids at the different locations. Or he started off being able to connect with people. But by the time they had moved for like the fifth time, he wasn't super interested in getting to know people.
Super important to his character.
It's a little bit important.
His non-existent character.
He doesn't really mesh well. He's kind of a mysterious outlier.
And then for the second time in the episode, David goes to the woods and passes out again. And then I forget who says it to who, but Yuki and David are like, come to the schoolyard, we'll settle this. And it was getting pretty silly, glass lip. And then David challenges Yuki to a runoff, which is the only cool thing he does, and it's very ballsy because he's like, yo, you suck at running. I don't even run and I can beat you, which is good shit.
Alpha.
But then David gets slapped by Yana. Everyone's wailing on David today.
Taking a real beating.
It's pretty funny. At this point, I am fascinated by the character of David because I'm absolutely perplexed as to whether or not he is actually supposed to be cool or if he's supposed to be very uncool because he sounds so cool or what?
He's one of those people that wraps around to being cool again.
No, he doesn't. Not at all.
He's like, I'm trying to think of a person like that, like a perennially uncool person.
Like a
Fred Armisen.
No. What?
He's like,
what?
You know, like a... Like
you're thinking of more of like a... Like a... I don't get no respect guy.
No!
Yeah, his thing was being uncool and everyone thought he was very cool.
Well, he was almost parodying being cool.
No, well, he was being very, very cool. Dorky.
And very schlubby.
Sure, he got no respect. I don't know.
David Copperfield.
Yes, David Copperfield. Chester Copperpot. That dude was so fucking cool. He lost all of his tissue and
respect.
Skin. Yeah.
Anyways, I got nothing. I don't know. This is going anywhere. This is class lip. I've entered the same.
That reference.
I've entered the same state that I was in while watching Glass Slipper. I'm just kind of glazed over. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm just going to let this happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to let
do anything about it.
Take me, Glass Slipper.
Take me away. You're going to float out of the room on Glass
Slipper. Being on Glass Slipper is like, it's like taking codeine. Nothing matters.
Yeah, it's opium. You can just sit there and not even do anything.
Not even care that your teeth are falling out and that you don't have fingernails anymore.
Yeah, you need no stimulation. You just sit there and your legs are all tingling. And you go, ah.
Yeah,
this like show is an opium den.
It's like being in the womb. just comfortable.
Yeah, but yeah, I just like David's really uncool. But then he did that one cool thing. And I was like, wait, what's going on? What is this supposed? What is this character supposed to be? And I guess Toko and David kind of confess to each other at the end here. Episode 7. The sound of the waves tickles me a bit,
and that's the episode.
That's the whole thing. So now there's three Davids talking to each other. Okay, so this is again nothing. This is literally never addressed.
Yes,
or
because no other character experiences it.
It happens like three times, and he never talks about it. No one ever says it. It's not a problem for him. There's just sometimes three or four of them.
Yep,
and just whatever, man.
Mm-hmm.
No reason. Is it an excuse to have him, I guess, because no one else thinks to themselves? They all have to talk to other characters, so but he's the only character who they want to have think to himself, so they just had to come up with a fucking retarded
this
way.
This show keeps you on your toes.
No, not
you can't guess. You have to, it's always throwing left hooks at you. You can't you know.
And then the amazing stylistic choice of switching from like a violin and piano based OST to like a weird OST Deadly Premonition sounding mantra. That's a weird one. It kind of went away, but for a while I was like, this sounds like Deadly Premonition, which is not a bad thing, really. Hiro visits Sachi in the hosp, and she calls him her boyfriend in front of her mom. Whoa.
Bold.
Toko and David hang out by the ocean. Toko's sister's swimming friends have the hots for Yuki because he runs past them every day. Yoko visits Sachi in the hospital. Yuki looks like shit while he runs, so Toko's sister bikes next to him in her swimsuit and tells him, don't stop looking cool. And then we're treated to a bunch more cheesy-ass still shots of people. And David still talking to his other selves here. I don't know if it's supposed to be a metaphor or if anything will come of it. It didn't. Or why. Sachi did something to sabotage Toko's date with David, and Hiro gets mad about that. Toko and David hang out more at the beach.
I think I remember these things.
David posits that the visions may not actually be the future, and then Yana says something to David. She's not happy with how he's acting. And then Toko sees a bunch of crows and flips out. And that was the whole episode there.
He's not treating her right. He's not treating Toko right. Everybody thinks. I don't remember why they thought that. You're not helping her enough, whatever that means.
Or they're just hanging out too much, and it's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
I think they're just acting out against him because the group's kind of fallen apart because they broke the inner dating policy.
Well, you know what could help this is more people hanging out and talking. So episode 8, Toko is okay.
You can't keep her down,
Yuki,
man.
Yuki is not running.
Oh, no.
Today. Sachi and Yana talk on the hospital roof. This isn't important, but I mention it because in this scene there's a dog barking that is so realistic and so perfect in the mix that I had to go back and make sure it didn't happen in real life. Very impressive sound design. Glass Slip. I listened to it a second time and I was still like, whoa, that is a realistic fucking dog. It's just in the perfect spot.
Told you, man. Told you about that.
Yeah,
you about that sound
right.
Design.
It was like I was really there. Yana seems to think that Sachi is in love with Toko. And then there's like a 1 10-second scene where David's mom asks him if he's living here or if he likes living here, and he's just like, yeah. And then Toko's sister tells her that David's not running, but he is just at some camp somewhere.
Well, because he didn't run by that day, yeah. So it's all she knows. Why didn't he tell everybody that he was going to this run camp? Figure that would have been.
Yana showers for a whole scene for no reason, and maybe misses some call on her cell phone, and might be going off the rails here a little bit. Toko's freaking out, and she sees a window shatter, and Yana runs instead of David. That's crazy, right? Toko is still sketching chickens, and then talks to David about stuff that's already happened.
You missed the Yana scene where you said she showered, but then she walks around her house buck-ass.
Oh, yeah, no, that's... Okay, two hijinks. Yay.
Hijinks of melancholy.
When
walking.
I say hijinks, I mean things that make me interested on any level.
That wake you up a little bit.
Any kind of primal excitement.
Wakes you out of REM sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, fuck. Whoa.
I was
in a daze, and then something crazy happened.
Blacked out for four episodes there. And then they go to the art room, Toko and David, and Toko keeps tripping out again. Just getting flashbacks, or flash forwards, maybe. Episode 9. If you haven't noticed, it's a lot of scenes of people conveying information to other characters. I think they might be running out of money this episode. The first scene of this episode is like a still frame of her thinking, and then a flashback to another part of the show, and then one of those blurry freeze frames over her again, and then the opening starts.
Oh, wait, no, that's not the opening. It's a nice opening.
Sure. David stands in the woods some more, and then Yana grooms Toko's sister by giving her little slut clothes. I don't know what's going on.
You're
gonna
go to the fucking corner for me, bitch. You hear about that news story? You hear about that 16-year-old girl who's pimping out little girls?
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, it's basically that. I just had to bring it up. It's always good to bring up child prostitution in your comedy anime podcasts.
Nice.
Serious problem.
Get that money.
Serious problem, folks.
Get the money. Yana sends weather updates to Yuki while he's at camp. As if he fucking cares about what the weather's like in his hometown. Sachi takes Toka. I keep spelling her name differently. Not Toka. Toko.
It's an O. I wondered myself for the first few episodes.
Toko and Hiro takes them to an art museum and then asks them to stay past open hours. And without knowing anything, without having seen this show, the scene makes it look like Sachi's gearing up for a threesome, which could make the show interesting. I wasn't holding my breath. But I was crossing my fingers for that. And then she gives a roundabout confession to Toko. Lesbians in my show. Somehow they couldn't even make lesbians very interesting.
But it wasn't full lesbians because she loved both of them.
That's still... What?
She loves both of them.
Yeah, so she's... Okay, so she's
bisexual.
Not a lesbian.
She's bisexual, but, which is only half as interesting.
But if they were to date, they would be lesbians.
She would be in lesbians with her, but I think they would. But I think she's got to commit. She's got
to
commit.
Yeah, that's a weird thing for her to do. She seems like
she seems to have her shit together better than most other
people.
She
reads so many books. You think she? I mean, she reads a lot. I guess that's the thing. She reads a lot of books, and novelists are a bunch of weird hippie, just like free love weirdos. So
yeah, just like
probably,
Stephen King.
She probably just thinks
Stephen King's a free love
I don't think
weirdo.
She's reading the Japanese equivalent of Stephen King, man. They're reading fucking poetry and shit. Like
the Tale of Genji ass fucking.
It's a bunch of
musings.
Who's 1830s hippie guy, whatever his name is. It doesn't matter. So yeah, she's just like, yeah, man. Two loves, that's more love for everyone. And yeah, they have a whole fucking drawn out scene where they have to explain the Miyun is beautiful tonight thing, and then she does it. It's like, if you're gonna do that, don't explain it before you do it, guys.
I don't know what that is.
There was a Japanese guy who was, I think, an English teacher, and he taught his students that to translate an English "I love you" to Japanese, you translate it as "the moon is beautiful."
Well, it came. They explained it. Is that something I was supposed to understand, or is that
no? They explain it for you,
okay.
And then she does it by saying "the moon is beautiful."
Yes, but is this a thing?
That's a thing people know.
Okay, I didn't know thing. I wanted to make sure that was what I was asking. Is it a thing people know?
I knew it.
I did not know thing.
I mean, I didn't. I only knew it. Well, I think I kind of knew it before I watched the show called Tsukigakure, which is the Mew is Beautiful, which the whole they do that in that too. But I kind of knew about it before then. But I feel like Japanese people would know about it more because it's a Japanese thing. I don't know.
It's probably important.
But
some bullshit.
If you know, if no one has heard of it, then don't do it. And if you're going to do it, don't explain it, please. That's bad. Yeah, so episode 10, full-on dual confession. I don't think Toko even knows what the fuck is going on. She is so ditzy.
Overwhelmed by Genki.
Just doesn't understand. Genki don't know. Genki don't care. David thinks more in the woods. Fuck. Goddamn. David visits Hiro in a cafe, in the cafe, and asks for Sachi's address, which is weird. David hangs out with Sachi some. Yuki is back from camp, and he sees Yana, but he hides. Then Toko meets David's mom, and she hangs out with his parents in a tent. And then Yuki and Yana say hi to each other. And then David fucking reiterates that he's lost his visions. He says that like three times this episode. Toko sees Snow and hunts for Jonathan the chicken, but she finds David, and then they kiss. Kissu.
Holy fuck.
Holy shit.
Oh my fucking god. Jesus.
Yeah,
this blows the whole thing wide open.
Romance, intrigue. She sees a vision of them kissing, and then they kiss. Episode 11, Toko and David talk about feelings, and also Snow. And then they decide that something will be fixed if they listen to David's mom play piano for no reason. That's not, they don't establish the logic behind that at all.
Well, so.
No.
No, you don't want it? Okay.
No, it's fine. Okay. Tell me.
So he can see her visions if they're in the same place while she's having them. So, like, hers are triggered by by Sparkles, Kure. Or not Kure, fucking Kiru.
Kira. Kiru.
And then you got fucking. His are triggered by music or sounds. So he figures that if they're in the same place, then she'll be able to experience what he's feeling, and then maybe that'll be the jump start he needs to get the visions again.
But why is that the only way they can listen to classical music?
I think it's particularly strong. I don't know.
It's extra strong. It's a shot of
because if the waves give him tingles, maybe his mom's piano give him a fucking jump start.
Live ASMR is always better.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
I wouldn't know.
Toko decides to stay in the art room because it's her place now. It's my hole. This was made for me. And her sister covers for her, which is a nice, and this is actually a decent set of scenes because it's just her sister faking her coming home and eating all the dinner and getting
she's
sick and stuff.
Put on quite the performance.
Oh, yeah, no, she's good.
Stomping sounds.
Her and David both sleep in the club room that night. Hiro, non-sexually, by the way, platonically, it's fine. Hiro and Sachi go hiking this time. Yuki watches Yana practice something. I don't even know what she's doing. I don't even know if they show it. She's doing ballet or some shit. I don't even know if they show it.
They show it.
What is she doing?
She's doing ballet.
Oh, it is ballet.
You nailed it.
Okay, great. I just guessed. I literally guessed. Toko's family hangs out with David's, which is kind of weird. They just started dating, kind of.
You can introduce your friend's parents.
I don't want any of the people in my life to mix.
No, I am firmly in the no intermingling world. Yeah. But you know, and maybe Japan is different. maybe they're not as broken as we thought.
Seinfeld hasn't watched, or Japan hasn't watched Seinfeld yet. What's going on? Toko and David talk in the woods more, and they see the fireworks and glass balls. And I don't know what David's goal is at all still. I don't know what he wants to accomplish by doing the piano thing.
Get it all back.
Get what back? Then Hiro and Sachi's hike gets weird and snowy, and then David says he might go around the world with his mom, which also sounds kind of sexual, but he means literally. And then his mom plays piano, and it begins. They're starting to watch. Episode 12 is a flashback, I thought. At first, episode 12, total mind fuck of an episode, bro. Here we go.
This is
it, man.
25-26 all over again. Strap the fuck in, bitches.
Discussion 7.
What the fuck
28, 2014. What? Episode 12, Whoa. Last of the discussion. What the fuck was that? Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Goosebumps on my dick. Fuck.
Did Hideaki Anno write this one?
Wasn't that bad.
Fuck.
So Toko's moving.
Can't joke like that.
Getting there, getting to town on a train. Except David's also there. David introduces her to the group of friends who is his group of friends now. And at this point, I'm like, oh man, am I about to be Madoka'd? I love being Madoka'd. I'd be okay with being Madoka'd. You can do it. I can do it a second time.
It's a late
sure.
Madoka, man.
Only it's 3 years. You know, I could go for another one.
No, I'm saying late Madoka's, and like we're going to the second to last episode. It's time for a Madoka.
That was episode 10 of Madoka. You know,
what was that 12? Is it 12?
It was 12 episodes. Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess you're right. So it's just her introducing herself to these characters, and then he teaches her how to walk on snow. Jesus. She just walks around town a bunch, and no one, at one point, people stop remembering her, and then they stop noticing her. But David can see her, and there seems to be two sets of friends. One of them is watching the fireworks, the other one is all staying home. And David says to her that this is the fragment world, and no one here is real, and I'm real, but also I'm not. And then David's mom finishes her piano piece in the real world, and that's the entire episode.
A real mind fuck.
Mind fucked, bro. Life hack.
What the fuck's going on in class slip, guys?
Your life just got hacked. I'm going to look at the Reddit.
Democracy has been hacked.
I need to find. I'm going to just read the Reddit thread for this episode's discussion.
Time to reference other anime.
What do these dumbasses think of Glass Slip?
Is it implying anybody's fucking talking about Glass Slip?
Well, they did.
I would be amazed if they kept up.
Glass Slip episode 12 discussion. 243 comments.
Holy shit. I didn't realize the anime discussion was that hot on Reddit. I didn't realize it was a thing.
Guess the top comment.
Are we getting Madoka'd? Or is it
dude,
real mind fuck?
Absolute lowest common denominator.
What the fuck happened?
The fuck did I just watch?
Okay, no, fuck it. That's worse than was it D-A-F-U-Q? Yep, fuck it, of course. Wanna die. I couldn't even go that low.
Murder everyone on Reddit.
Is that the entire comment?
Yeah, the fuck did I just watch?
Oh my fucking god.
My reaction to this episode was identical to my reaction to the fourth episode of The Endless Eight. What the fuck am I watching?
It took you that long?
I spent the entire episode asking myself the same question. I think they answered some of the mystery. Maybe?
No, we didn't.
No, Miss K44.
They think they're going to get the mystery answered. Those poor fools.
Gurip says, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed how shit this is. Again, correct, but weird why this is the only show people are so critical of. Sukebe Bancho Boy says, these stairs are definitely too steep. It's a link to... Those are some pretty steep stairs. I didn't notice that. But yeah, those are crazy. So that's just a screenshot of the show.
what a specific thing to call out. That's he had a bone to pick. Apparently he wasn't too invested in
some of these comments are so bad. I literally don't want to read them.
Let me hear. But make the words come out of your mouth. Channel.
Woo! Physicists, it's time to celebrate. The way to observe the multiverse has just been discovered. Just listen to Kakeru's mom play some piano and you get to experience the out-of-body depression of your teenage heartthrob. Who needs CERN when we have fucking Glass Slip?
Gotta bring it in. Gotta bring in my meme science.
This is just the shrug emoji, which I like. It's alright.
It's the show, basically. You could just call it Shrug Slip, and it's just that.
This one's just a bunch of reaction faces. In the beginning, I'm like this face, and in the middle, I'm like basically the same face. And by the time I'm finished, I'm like basically the same face. It doesn't matter. It's not important. What else? My favorite screenshot from this series. Oh, it's a picture of a train, and it's wrecked. How about that?
Oh wow.
How about that? But really, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Where in the episode was this? I wasn't paying it. This guy actually doesn't understand the train wreck joke.
Whoosh.
Or maybe he's doing that on purpose. I don't... Man. Fuck me. Here's one of their great people who summarizes the entire episode for no reason with a lot of exclamation marks. Fucking God. I'll read the first paragraph. All right, guys, I'm going in. Let's see what amazing adventures await us this week on our favorite show.
Who does this? Wait, the fuck? Why?
Yeah, it's just a whole big old summary of the episode that you're talking about in this thread.
How many upvotes? What's our score?
46.
Oh, my God.
I'll write this up as soon as I finish watching this week's amazing episode.
That's not content.
They should have gone to an alternate timeline where Jonathan is the MC of this show.
Ah.
Memes. Hero's sister bursts in and catches him off guard. He appears to be waxing a pole. Hero starts blushing
yes.
during his explanation.
Yes.
Well, that was awkward.
That's the joke. That's literally the joke.
I like Tefair says, fuck this show. right. I don't understand. I mean, I do, but I don't for you people. Insert Jackie Chan meme here. Why? Oh, because of the... Oh, he's doing... What the fuck am I... Yeah.
It's 2014. It was a simpler time.
This show is straight up unbelievable. This time, the episode starts off with everything snowing, so you know right away that what is about to go down has to deal with the Fuji fragments. Cool, they are finally going to be used here. What's this? Toko and Kakeru have switched places? She's the new girl in the group when everyone seems to like her? Wow, is this show actually going to give us a real interesting plot twist or plot development? Yay, fireworks. All right, the gang is going to hang out. You're summarizing the whole thing. This is just him acting out his confusion as he watches the episode. Crazy fucking garbage. What the hell? No, none of these questions are answered. Instead, we get some nonsensical answer, you know, like the rest of the show. She disappears, and like everything else that came before, it doesn't matter in the slightest. I thought we were finally going to have something happen. It was actually capturing my interest this time, but I should have known. I'm watching Glasslip.
It's not a zero. It's not a zero. It's not, yeah, it's not like a two. It's not a three.
Maybe if you go into this not knowing its reputation, you are truly fooled by the apparent buildup to some sort of supernatural phenomenon, and it hits a lot harder. Maybe
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, because I think I even have like a less negative opinion than you do, where it's like I don't know. I some of the relationship stuff is like kind of mature. But like overly mature, but I'm not like disgusted by it. I don't fucking know.
It's kind of boring.
But like some of it I can relate to. I don't understand. I don't understand the stuff about the in dating breaking up the entire group is kind of real. I don't fucking know.
Doesn't really. I don't know. Glasslip literary analysis from Atomic Chalk. OP and AD analysis. Go watch this lyric video of the OP and then come back. I'll wait for y'all. After watching that, I think it becomes pretty clear that Glasslip is about dealing with teenage angst, relationships, and maturing to move on to the workplace / college from your school life and friends.
Fuck.
The lyrics in the song, I assume, are written from Toko's POV as she describes her nervousness with everything going on and dealing with her confusion of the heart. The first verse in particular of some of the OP describes exactly her feelings up until now. The true meaning of this crashing wave within my chest has been blocked out by the sunlight, still unclear to me. It's pretty blunt in its explanation that she is overwhelmed with emotions, but feels a ray of hope from the sun, aka someone she loves but is unsure of. You're a literary expert. This is written terribly. If we had subs of the OP and ED, no one would be complaining about how confused they are, because the first verse right here explains everything going on.
The key to all this is the opening.
Oh yeah, it's spoken from Toko's RMC POV, but applies to all the main cast as they are all in the same position. The next set of verse, and I'm going to paraphrase here, describes how great life around Toko is, but no matter what she tries, she still has to deal with the same issues of love and uneasiness in her heart.
OP relates to the show. Stop the fucking presses.
This is very long. The first minute of the ED is talking about rebirth from normalcy and loving someone despite their fault. You're looking very deep into this NaNoWriMo song. The part about a shattered glass heart is a reference to, once again, the confusion of teenage love that Toko and everyone else feels with their emotions being uncertain. TLDR, read the damn thing. It's an analysis that took me a few hours to write.
Oh my god, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life, poor fellow? What is this? Is this person still posting on Reddit?
Let's see his most recent.
Oh my god. Sorry, I'm just breaking a cup over here.
I see he's made a post in guns.
Oh,
and the comment is just... It's a common term if you're a Western fan of Japanese anime or manga. So he goes into other subreddits and is like, hey, let me tell you guys about
spreading the good word.
Yeah. Spreading the just a lot of gun posts. Here's space. How does negative mass work? If it says a brick of negative mass is the same amount of matter as a positive mass of brick. Map porn. Guns. Aviation. Yeah, sadly, they sure love to keep that stuff flying. That's a good out-of-context post from aviation.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Delta, United, and I believe British Airways are retiring their 744s at the end of this year, FYI. So grab them while you
can. Good shit.
So thanks, Atomic Chalk.
This person is into guns, anime, and planes. I can relate.
I guess it could be worse. I like this episode, Keanu Taku. I think it's a bit of a shame that people are so overreacting to this just because the story isn't told directly in a conventional, easily understandable way that follows...
It's not for the fucking masses, bro.
Time for Too Deep for You and an expected format, e.g. standard romance, drama, slice of life, and that's all it is. I think it's actually more commendable if PA Works to attempt making something out of the ordinary rather than another standard romance drama that everyone agrees for some reason assumed and wanted Glasslip to be. I don't know. He's kind of right. It's like people aren't... Yeah, it's like... I don't know. It's everybody's so wrong. Everybody's wrong. It's, people who made this show are bad, and this show's not good. And everyone who hates it for weird reasons, like they thought it was going to be.
Well, they have expectations set by their other shows that they've seen.
Yeah, they have higher expectations, and
everything
and,
everything that they've seen up until this point that has looked good has been decent.
And
you know what I mean? It's like it's the filter effect of like they're only seeing like the higher end shows probably, you know. It's like what their friends are talking about.
There are probably some people who are upset that the story is told in an indirect way like that guy's talking about, but there are probably some people like us who don't dislike that but dislike that it was not good.
It's just so slow. There's not much, nothing going on.
If there was something interesting that you were telling indirectly, that'd be cool.
We're into that. We're about that life.
But if you just sort of throw things in, like multiple personality stuff and meaningless future visions that aren't actually the future and whatever.
Supernatural things that just don't go anywhere, that are wholly unsatisfying.
And like cool let me tell you about motifs. Fooly Cooly's got some motifs. You can watch that a billion times. You see more stuff. Coolest show ever,
dude.
That's got cooler stuff than chickens and classical music and the woods. It's got cooler stuff than that.
That's the woods and classical music and chickens. That's the simple life, Declan.
I don't want it.
It's quaint.
I sent you that screenshot of the new Fooly Cooly.
I watched it and I almost threw up at that exact same moment. I saw that and I'm like, oh, I'm fucking gonna hate that. So it's not.
That's your protagonist.
It's no.
Oh yeah, no.
Wait, what?
That's the protagonist.
Oh
of the
my
show.
Fuck.
That's her.
Oh my god.
Generic.
It's oh no. It's nothing.
Girl number 70 billion.
Fooly Cooly was too pure, so the ales of this world were able to infect it. That's it's just it.
Fooly Cooly. No, yeah, it's. It'll never... Even Fooly Cooly was probably that good by accident. I was watching it with the director commentary the other day, and that guy... It was just like Anno saying he called it Evangelion because it sounded cool. It's like that guy...
That might be a joke.
I don't know. I don't know if he... There's no reason for it to be called that. I think he was telling the truth. But that... Like, there's English, there's the English cast commentary, then the director commentary.
They're all like, oh, I remember recording audio for this. Like, what does the English cast commentary get going on?
Some of them have, I think one of them wrote the English script, so he had probably talked to the director quite
Crispin
a bit,
Freeman.
And he probably was more familiar with the story. And they had the two lady voice actors who were Mamimi and Haruko, and they were just kind of there for... Yeah, because like the director like didn't want to talk, and he had a lady there asking him questions, and he was talking about the making of the show. And then on the English side, he was just only answering the question, not really saying much. And on the English side, we got treated to great commentary, like, "Oh, there goes his forehead."
Sounds okay.
Just like,
yeah.
"Oh, this part's cute." Yeah, no, it's fine in its own way. You don't get a lot of insight.
It's more just like it's like chicken soup.
Sure. But the director is just like fucking like she asks him like, so why did you go with an iron? And he's just like, yeah, I just thought it looked cool. It ended up kind of working into the story. Yeah.
But here's the thing is that
the iron with the wrinkles, and that was just kind of a coincidence.
Well, that is literally all writing, Declan, is this. That's how writing works, is that coincidences, or you just think of like there'll be an image and then you'll find ways to work it into the rest of the story. Like that's just how writing, that's the writing process, is that
maybe, yeah,
it's everything that you've ever loved is just a series of kernels that seemingly that just lined up, and then like, oh fuck, I got something here, and then they just followed it. That's all of it. It's literally all of it. Nothing is planned. We gotta get the last episode. We gotta get the last episode done, and then we can end this.
Right, end this. I guess that's all. Thanks, Reddit.
content, baby. Sometimes you just need a good punching bag, you know? You just... But yeah,
What did they say in the last episode? 352 comments. A lot of people watching this at the time. We are now officially Glass Lip survivors. Literally nothing. That's a good one. I wish the show would have just been about making glass. That's a good
point.
The
scenes of making glass were kind of nice.
That's a trade. That's a respectable thing to do. If it was just a glass making competition,
I could be into it.
it would just be a battle shonen at that point.
I would love a battle shonen about glass making.
Totally different niche. You'd love a battle shonen about anything.
Of course,
battle shonens are just good.
Yeah, but was,
they're just good.
I went to this glass workshop where they made a bench out of glass. It took
Damn.
6 months to cool. Because
oh yeah, no, it's thick stuff. It's hot.
And it, like a battle shonen about glass making, it's like she's going for like a glass statue, and it's, you know, it's gonna take a month, and they're just waiting on bated breath to see if the statue cracks when she pulls it out. Sounds good.
Yeah.
But you could have drama in the meantime, and her life could be tumultuous. Let's write this glass blowing fucking anime. It sounds great. Anyways. Fuck.
They didn't like the last episode either.
Oh wow.
Show in a nutshell, it's a picture of... Oh, it's blank, I think. This is just not loading. No, it's blank.
It is nothing.
Episode 13, Toko faints after listening to this beautiful piano piece, but she's okay, and then she has to hear one more before going home. And then David talks to Yana, but nothing really. Toko and David talk in the woods once more, and this is when we learn... This is when we get the final revelation that the fragments aren't the future, but they are things that are bound to happen, which is the same thing, but they're only the same if she wants them to be the same, because she sees what she wants to happen. Right?
Could be worse.
No. Well, I guess.
Could be worse.
It's very bad.
Could be.
I don't even know what the fuck they're talking
could
about.
Could be worse.
It doesn't make any sense.
The explanation that you just gave me made it click. Where I'm like I
click it away where it's like, oh yeah, that is bullshit.
Click it away where it's like, could be worse. That was a more coherent explanation than the show gives.
Those are the subs. Whatever. And then they both she makes a bunch of balls for David, and then they both grab the balls and then they throw the balls into the air, and then everyone sees the meteor shower despite like 50% cloud cover. It's a summer
miracle.
Summer fucking miracle. And then Toko and Yuki talk again. And then they go to school. And I guess David also goes to school? And he's not going...
And he hears her voice and the ball sparkles. There's glistening balls.
Yeah, we get the last shot is of a glistening glass ball in the woods.
And that's glass lit.
That's end. So yeah, confusing as to why... Like, let's look at the Reddit thread.
It was a fucking
episode
undertaking.
12 of Tari Tari.
It was a fucking undertaking to get to hear you explain that show again. Like, I definitely don't want to watch it again.
I would not recommend it.
No.
Tari Tari episode 12 discussion only has 14 comments.
It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
I wouldn't mind them pairing together. Sawa is great. Final is going to be great. I don't expect much from the show when I started, but I enjoyed it a lot. See, that's the difference. For some reason, no one expected anything of Tari Tari. I don't know, except for the fucking moon, dude. Did Glasslip have a crazy fucking trailer or something before it came out? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
This was a great episode. I've been having doubts about the shallow development of some of the club member characters received, but I've come to terms with what I saw as the show's weakness and simply went with it. Like, yeah, like they don't care about this one.
But they're willing to temper their expectations for the rest of the show. But what was the thing they put PA Works put up before Glass Lip? Do we know?
Probably Tari Tari. Let's see. Hold on.
If they put out something of like serious quality
TV
before
series
this.
Produced. So they did. They did. Whoa. So they did Hanasaku Iroha, Slice of Life, well-received, 26 episodes. They did another, which was a horror show, which we should probably watch, really, because it's people just watch it as a comedy at some point because it was so ridiculous. What was that noise?
Maybe me shifting my chair.
I
fucking pee. Fuck. I had the entire jug of water. Keep going.
keep going. You can't listen to me and pee at the same time.
I bet you bet your ass I can.
I'm gonna eat a now and later. I'm gonna eat a now. Fuck you. This podcast is forfeit. So they made another. Then they did Tari Tari. Man, that was 2012. Shit, that's 5 years ago. Then Red Data Girl, which was hated by I think everyone except like 10 girls. Then they made The Eccentric Family, which everyone loved. And then, oh, okay, shit. Yeah, they made Nagi Asakara, which is a slice-of-life romance with a supernatural element that everyone fucking loved.
Okay.
And then they made Glasslit.
So there you go. I guess
so that might explain partially some of it.
Hmm. Expectation set
could
too high.
Could be. Could be it.
Huh.
And they made Shirobako, which everyone loved forever. And then Charlotte.
Hmm.
Hmm.
It's a bit of a down, it's a bit of a low point between some decent stuff, it seems. Not Charlotte, but I guess Charlotte's way more entertaining than this is.
Oh, I forgot they did Kuro Mukuro. That's hilarious. Uma Musume Pretty Derby, based on the mobile game. Oh no, PA Works. You in some financial troubles?
Hey man, they're just building up so they can do their next beautiful slice of life romance with...
What does this look like? Oh boy, that's some art.
Let me see.
Cat girls racing?
Yep, that's
cat girls doing track with huge ass fucking hair.
Track girls,
trap girls.
I hear pretty girls like trap music.
Boy. So yeah, that. Interesting.
Racing cat girls.
I just wanted to read some mal reviews.
Yes, thank you.
Because we got some. This show's probably I'd give it a 5.
I was thinking between a 4 and a 5.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably err on the side of a 5, just because there were enough things that rung a bit true to me to where I was kind of, I enjoyed those. It's fucking slow as hell, but I didn't loathe watching it. So I would say most stuff that I've seen, just you know, like the crop of every season is enough to make to level me off and remind. Just how low it goes.
Hmm.
And this is not that low. So,
yeah. Banjo the Bear gives the show a 2. This has been adapted from my Reddit thread.
Oh, good.
Teenage romance is a hot topic in the anime world. What? What?
Hot topic.
No, I'm skipping over you. 3 from Satire. That's a funny name. What happened to my comfy slice of life series about glass blowing? It stayed that. I mean, it was never about glass blowing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Stay tuned for ours. We're going to pitch it next season, so, you know.
We need to. Wait, there's got to be more reviews.
Get to work on that.
Ah, there we go. More reviews. Bring me the shit. I need the shit. 2 from Palladia. Like a light summer breeze, Glasslit, which looked to be a tranquil slice of life, floated onto the summer anime scene. You can't use the word summer twice in the first sentence.
I fucking hate it.
Then the second sentence, like summer itself.
No!
You can
find a thing!
You compared it to summer 3 times.
If you have to it's my biggest pet peeve.
You can't do it.
The amount of times I've like, this is, I've used this word within 5 lines of this other word. I gotta go back. I gotta figure something out.
Doesn't care.
There's synonyms, motherfucker. Shit.
Like summer itself, Glasslit was something that many viewers, including me, looked forward to. I think a lot of us were weaned on the gorgeous visuals. That's not what weaned means. Intricate plot and superb character development found in Nagi no Asakara, which was created by the same studio that made Glasslit. So yeah. 1 from Olwen. You know there's something wrong with an anime about romance when the most interesting character is an ordinary freaking chicken.
What was that fucking 3D CG... show about the comedy sisters, the comedy fucking sisters. Ugly. It was like this, these big titted, huge assed, like,
oh, Abanai sisters.
Yes.
How do you know about that? Just because of the demo D video.
That's a 1. That's a 0. That's a 1. That's what the bar is.
And even that can be kind of fun. You know?
You can't shift.
I think Superboy, Super Kid is the only one I've ever seen.
I wish it was the only one I've ever seen.
But it becomes old. Becomes 2 because it gave us It gave us Kirk Douglas's poopy boner.
Of course. And that makes everything better.
Glasslip
still
is an anime.
Still kicking. Still kicking. We made
that
joke.
Yeah, no. He's existed for the entirety of this podcast's
amazing
lifespan.
He might outlive this podcast.
He's going to outlive me. Like, what are you saying? Dude,
keep going,
sold
Kirk.
His soul to the Hollywood devil.
Keep fucking going.
Glasslip. Keep going, Kurt. Glasslip is an anime that takes place during a summer about a group of friends in high school. A transfer student, Kakeru, moves to the town.
Take place during a summer?
Yep, during a summer.
Oh my god.
Come
on, motherfuckers.
I think the main problem with the characters is that every single character is like a robot with no depth whatsoever.
Yeah. Or just, there's only two that really have that, three that really have that problem.
Toko's nice, and Sachi doesn't have that much of a character, but I still want to hang out
but
with her.
But she seems chill, you know? Yeah. Like, she's not over-dramatic or anything.
Absolutely.
She's kind of...
No, she's pretty under-dramatic.
She's chill, and then like... the one dude is not a robot. He's just kind of timid, which is the adjective you used at the beginning. I don't remember his name.
I think Yuki and David can safely be put under the category of robot.
I would agree, 100%. But
Hiro's not, yeah.
No, I think that's a... Only two robots. That's it. Not everybody. His dad... Kakiru's dad, maybe.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
He's a pipe smoking, music listening robot.
Yeah, some characterization. He's a very.
But he's mellow. He's mellow.
He's very mellow. He's like, yeah, do whatever, man.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
YOLO, bro.
There's not tobacco in this pipe. In this anime, Yuki Nari completely forgets that Toko exists halfway through, and this plot point is just abandoned by the writers. What plot point? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Glasslip is a boring, pathetic excuse for a romance anime that should be avoided. It's so boring that you can't even call it a so bad it's good anime, because watching each episode is even more boring than counting blades of grass and watching paint dry on the wall. On the wall, not redundant, thanks. If there's nothing to laugh at while watching paint dry on the wall, why would you get any sort of enjoyment out of watching this garbage? There's a spoiler-free review from Link of Hyrule. The next Nagi no Asukara? Yeah, see, I think that might be a good chunk of... 8 out of 10 from Axel Blaze.
What's he got to say? I need to know what he has to say.
That's
way more interesting.
The hugely negative reviews that this show is getting is mainly because this show is aimed at a specific audience.
Oh, you're one of these people.
Here we go.
Yeah, no,
this is
what we're here for.
I love this.
I want to know the age on this person.
Oh, yeah. It is neither flashy nor has twists and turns like many other
anime. Fucking true.
It is a slice of life, a very thin slice. And not everyone can connect to it. In real life, things do not progress fast. In real life, you don't have stereotyped characters like tsunderes and donderes.
That's why we watch anime.
in real life... whatever. In that way, the characters in Glasslip are very real. I do not understand why the wart of an anime, the wart of an anime or character is measured by how interesting backstory it has, or the struggle of each character. Yes, those anime are inspirational and hit us hard, but just because an anime caters to the ordinary people with ordinary life does not mean it's bad.
What is this guy's argument?
That means that Transformers is watched by only people with crazy fucking lives.
What is this argument? He says that this show is related.
This is the show for the common man.
But common men don't want this show because...
I relate to this show because I'm a blue-collar working-class American.
I'm so fucking average, you don't even understand.
Yes. The artwork is brilliant in this anime. You said the visuals weren't flashy before.
Brilliant
is one point
is
everyone agrees. Verdict. If you want a thriller, a plot with huge twists and turns, characters with backstory, etc., stay away from this anime. If you want to enjoy mundane lifestyle and complex romantic love life with a few teenagers, this anime is for you.
If you want the anime equivalent of Cloud Rap, if you're looking for
it's not,
just...
It's not dank enough. It's not
throwing
like
entire
cloudy,
weeks
dark
of your life away on opioids. This is the show for you.
This is like spacey EDM.
This is
it's spacey
atmospheric
something.
EDM. No, this is yes. This is IDM.
It's just space.
This is space. It's the sound of Saturn's rings.
It was almost like school life all over again. They don't go to school in the show. All right,
maybe dropped out.
A bunch of ones. Here's a seven. The next Nagi no Asukara quickly turned into the disappointment of the summer for most, but actually entertained me. Are you raising your brow yet wondering why give an anime a 7 that's heavily hated on? With Nagi no Asukara ending a few months before Glasslip was released, we had high expectations for it, thinking it would live up to the hype that Nagi produced. By no means am I saying this anime is perfect. It isn't. It has a bunch of flaws, but still doesn't deserve that amount of hate it's getting, in my opinion. It opens up with the group having fun at the... Oh, this is so fucking long. Holy
shit.
It's
a reactionary review, too.
Oh. art is probably one of the best things this anime has to offer. The art, classical music has always been one of the things I listen to. This is the one person this is made for.
Good for them, though.
The rest of the group is diverse. They're made up is one of the things that I enjoyed. They are literally just made, though they all just literally made more conflict and served no purpose in the story whatsoever. They made a lot of entertaining moments. All right.
This person was getting a lot out of this show, man.
What was I just gonna say? Did you say something? I don't know.
Did I say something?
Yeah, I think the Netflix crowd found this and they had just watched Nagi no Asakura because that was the normie show from the season before that everyone got super hyped over because apparently it's very good. And then they saw this and was like, fuck.
But then you had like an equal amount of people who were reactionary. They were like level-headed, but I think they might have gone too far the opposite direction where they're like trying to counteract that, the effect of...
The people giving the game 10 on a Metacritic.
You can't give this thing above a 6. I won't allow it. It's not...
7 from...
Okay, what's my 7
Sky
man got to say?
I
don't understand the hate this show is getting. This show is getting too much hate because
this story is actually all about understanding your loved one and take action instead of nothing.
This just shows the opposite of taking action.
They confess a lot. I don't know. That's action, I guess.
A lot.
Hiro likes Sachi. Therefore, he follows Sachi to read books. At first, he gets bored easily, but at the end, he actually learns a lot from the books and can express impressive ideas. Until he made this up. This doesn't happen. Does this happen in the show? Oh right. There's like one little scene where he sends her a text message about, and it's like a phrase. They had a little subplot there, I guess. Weird.
I thought it was cute that he read the books with her.
Yes, they had a cute thing, and they didn't do anything with it.
Sometimes you don't need to do anything with it at all.
More eights, like 7 is like, it's okay, because people think 7's okay, right? Storyline, 8 out of 10 from Edeku. The story goes beyond the understanding of cutesy romance, after-school clubs, and dramatic soap opera slice of life. As you may know, the director who was involved with this series uses a lot of representations of items or scenes in explaining this series.
That was super coherent, man.
Many of the times I watched this anime and thought, what was the point of this anime? Why does this seem really confusing, and how come it isn't making any sense? I read a post in understanding what this anime is about on Reddit and looked at other opinions from other people, and what really stood out is the fact that the metaphors are used greatly throughout this anime.
I'm an amalgamation of everything I've ever read. No original opinion.
Many of the times it seems that the different scenes and objects we see throughout the anime seem oblivious to us, but those scenes / objects are really important in terms of telling the story and understanding it. Realizing each scene about how it pertains to the characters made better sense of what may have happened in the or the misunderstand of each other.
My brain. Okay.
This guy is on drugs.
We need to find an 8 and see what other things they've reviewed. I need to know what
an 8 from this man?
Or an 8 from another person. This one I don't really put much stock in. I want to see like a 7 or 8 with a relatively coherent original opinion. And then I want to see what else they're watching. I need to know.
I'll do that first 8. From Axel Blaze.
Was that decent? I don't remember what the review was. It was reactionary, but I don't think it was bad.
Mainly because this show is aimed at a specific audience, that guy.
Fuck it. Yeah, let's see what it's got.
The guy who enjoys watching anime and doesn't like to criticize them too much. Hue, hue, hue.
Okay, never mind then. I don't know. I'm looking for somebody with a relatively critical eye.
Monster Musume, 5 out of 10. Fuck you. God damn it.
What else we got?
Anime lists. Guest.
We got to see the tens, really. The tens and the zeros. That's kind of what's.
All right, let's score by score. Wow, this is an obnoxious ass page. I can't even rate this shit. All right.
You can customize your page?
Oh, yeah. You can customize it way too much, and people go a little crazy.
Why?
Oh, cool. He scores things as he watches them. 5 centimeters a second, 10. Mm-hmm. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, 10.
Yeah.
Steins Gate, 10.
Yeah.
Major Message, 10. I don't know what that is. Fate Zero Second Season, 10.
Yeah.
Rurouni Kenshin Meiji Kenkaku Romantan, 10. Eureka 7, 9.
It's a lot of...
Planets, 9. Kino no Tabi. Yeah,
that's not bad. That's not a bad list.
Yeah, you're fine. You gotta go all the way down.
He didn't give too many 10s. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Gintama 1.
Oh, damn. Gintama fans in shambles.
This guy does not like...
Shonen show? Shonen
he does not like smut, but he watches a lot of it. Valve Rave 2, I understand.
Is it a weird? Is this a weird complex?
It's just 103. Asobini Ikuyo. That's Cat Planet Cuties for you Americans. It's 2. Big Order 2. That's probably accurate, actually. Akame Ga Kill is like a 3. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Not terrible.
It's fine. Nothing to really.
Okay, so that person's perfectly average.
Adeku has a picture of his own face on profile. He's an Asian man. I don't know. It's like, look.
That is an Asian fellow.
That's a dude. His list. ReZero, 10 out of 10, obviously. Gotta have that be a 10 out of 10. Everybody's got that. Okay, complete.
I'll watch
shows.
It someday. Someday.
Yeah, get there.
It'll happen.
Completed. Cowboy Bebop 10.
No, yeah. Dude, nice opinion,
this
bro.
This guy is an amalgamation of everything he's ever read.
Nailed it.
There's no way you have an opinion of your own if you give Cowboy Bebop a 10.
It's a 9. It's actually an 8. It's an 8.
It's an 8. Yes.
Samurai Champloo. That's a 9. Let me tell you about Samurai Champloo.
All right, if you say Cowboy Bebop movie 10. Trigon.
That's more right.
Trigon 10. Evangelion 10.
That's a good opinion.
Beck 10.
That's a decent opinion.
Last Exile 10. Mononoke Hime 10. Razifon 10. Fully Cooley 10. All right, he's cool. I don't know.
Of course he's going to be cool. You just filter all these opinions and then you end up with a decent one. You know, it's just
get rid of the bad ones. Eureka 7 10. Golden Boy 10. Paradise Kiss 10. Shakugan no Shana 10. Woo. Boy, this is a lot of 10s. The Big O 10. Tenku no Shiro Laputa 10. Ergo Proxy 10. Nausicaa 10. Nana 10. Black Lagoon 10.
He likes Nana?
Well, he thinks Nana is a masterpiece.
It's good. It's good.
Macross F is a 10. One Piece
the
film.
Fuck?
Toradora 10.
How do you...
I've been reconsidering Toradora, and I think it might be a 10. I've been thinking about it.
I'll have to watch it again to form another opinion. I'll watch Tora again. Someday.
Yeah, Gurren Lagann 10. Bakemonogatari Guitari 10. Eden of the East 10.
That's so many fucking 10s.
Angel Beats 10.
Holy fuck!
Katana Guitar, Dorarara 10. Working 10. Bakuman.
Dude!
Samurai Girls, Otome Yokai, Zakuro, World God Only Knows, Koriwa Zombie Disco.
These are 10s?
Star Driver, Steins Gate.
These are 10s?
Perfect Day.
No!
Ungo is a
10. No!
Ungo! Nisei Monogatari, which I liked way more than anyone. I thought it was like a 9. He's giving it a 10.
So many 10s!
I don't know, it's just this movie,
this
10.
Guy, imagine being this guy, Declan.
Sword Art Online
10! Yeah! Imagine being this dude.
Kids on the Slope 10!
I wish I was this guy. I wish everything I watched was a 10.
One Piece Film Z 10.
Sakura
Son of Pit. Kanajo 10. Magi the Labyrinth 10. Chunibyo 10. Yari Gun Sekchu Love Call Snafu 10. Nekomono Guitar 10. Gatega Titan 10. Kyoka no Kanata, Yamushi Petal, Barakamon, Nanatsu no Taizai, Kuroko no Basket, the third season, Shokugeki no Shoma, Overlord, Gate is a 10! One Punch Man is a 10! ReZero is a 10! Honey and Clover is a 9. Full Metal Alchemist is a 9.
Wow.
Alright, well, cool standards. What's a 1? His lowest score is a 7. He has seen 222 shows, my friend. 7.
These people affect the scores that
now,
you see.
Keep in mind, he has not rated Black Lagoon the second season, so that might be like a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
And Skip Beat, so those
that's
might
the bar.
Be. But Trinity 7 is a 7. Soul Eater Not is a 7. Glass Lip is a 7.
Imagine being this guy!
Brave 10, Neon Koi is a 7.
Is he just always... just? Fucking high out of his fucking mind, or is he just that happy of a dude?
Loves it. Nazan Okano 2X is a 9.
Is he like one of those Mormons who's just happy all the time?
He probably just watches shit that people say good things about.
And he's like, alright.
But then something, it's like K Project is a 9.
This anime shit's pretty good, bro.
Aoharu Ride is a 9. Seitoka Yakuin Domo Butthole is a 9. Black Bullet is a 9. Nozaki-kun is a 9.
That hurts.
Log Horizon, the second season, is a 9. The one by Dean.
Not in the database. That one's not in the database.
No Game, No Life is a 9. Niseko is a 9.
I'm going to finish Noragami.
Both seasons or just the first one?
Both seasons.
Okay.
Do people like the second season?
I don't know.
I liked that.
You see, second season, the show's not huge. People kind of stop talking about it. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't blowing me away. It was like, I don't know.
It seems kind of like cutesy, charming.
The production value's fine, but it's like...
You know what? I've got to finish One Punch Man before I even consider watching any of that shit. So.
And finish that? That's the most bingeable show of all time. Have you not finished that? Show's like 2 years old.
I did not finish that show.
How?
It's not One Punch Man? Wasn't that a year ago? It's like a year ago.
That's 2015, I think.
I don't think it's 2015.
That's 2015, yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I'm pretty sure it's 2016.
Absolutely not. It was fall 2015. Wikipedia says anime October 5th, 2015.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Absolutely. Time is gone. Time is gone. I thought that was
You really thought that was last year?
I honestly thought that was last year.
Huh.
Holy fuck.
Yep.
Jesus.
Almost 2 years since One Punch Man.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm calling.
Well, I guess one full season until 1 year.
That's
or
fucking,
2 years since one.
That's not good. That's not good.
It's they're gonna they start coming and they don't stop coming.
Jesus rules. Now you hit the ground running.
You didn't have to keep going. Everyone got it.
No. How is? I'm having a little bit of an existential crisis because of One Punch Man. I thought I had eternity, Declan. I thought it was forever.
It's been...
I thought it was...
What show did you watch? Remember when you thought Shirobako was like late 2015 and it was like 2014?
Oh my god.
That was funny.
Oh my god. Oh no, I'm having out of a body experience. I'm being removed from myself here.
Oremo is 6.5 years old. I don't know. K-On! Is 20 years old.
Oh my god. Can you believe?
It's.
Can you believe
the Naruto? Can't go down that.
Can you believe the Naruto's a billion years old?
Done this bit too many times. Naruto, we gotta leave.
Okay, that's it. That's the podcast.
Yeah, see ya.